So I was sitting over there, how much this actually kind of goes with what I'm going to share. We actually need to live our lives right in the middle, don't we? You know what? One of the words that I love, I said at my last church, I said, do you guys know what my favorite word is? And someone said food. That was the truth. It's balance. We need to be balanced. Probably most of us are not living our life like this, like, you know, rolling around in our sins, going away from God. But we got to be careful that we don't think that we're these perfect angels, that we're living right in the middle with the Father. That's what we need to do. Let's put up the PowerPoint here. And I'm going to share a little bit. Does anyone remember what I preached last time I was here in the morning? You didn't know it was going to be a test, did you? You need to be ready. Anybody remember? Not even my wife. That's really sad. That is so sad. Yeah. Well, today we're talking about increase our faith. And it actually goes off of what I preached last time I was here. I preached on context. At least I was hoping I would hear, oh, yeah, but I didn't even get that from you guys. Okay? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. It was delayed, but thank you. About context. And I'll give you really quick back. This is what it says about context. The parts of a discourse that surrounds a word or passage and can throw light on its meaning. In other words, what comes before it or after it can help us to understand it a little bit better. And then there's another one that helps me here. The interrelationed conditions in which something exists or occurs. So you look and can this relates to this scripture and such. Okay? So that's what I'm going to look at. But last time I looked at three different passages. I'm going to look at one because it was actually the fourth one that I wanted to bring last time. But there's so much in this that it can stand on its own. And of course it's I was going to give an example. Example. See, I got ahead of myself. Example of looking at things in context is in the Bible, it says there is no God. But we need to look at that in context, see what comes before, after. In context, it says this, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see how context just changes everything. It gives us the meaning that God wanted it to be, so we can see it's different. So that's the context. So we want to look at this verse, or increase our faith. Because I'm sure all of us, that's our hearts. We want our faith increased. But let's look at it in context. In context, it says this. The apostles have said to the Lord, increase our faith. Well, that's the full verse, but that still doesn't really help us to understand exactly what he's talking about. So let's start in verse one here. I think I'm going to look on this one. I need new glasses. I can see that, but I'm going to strain a little bit. So we're going to look here. He said to his disciples, it is that word that I can't pronounce. It's deathly. There's going to be stumbling blocks that come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Then it says, the apostle said to him, increase our faith. Kind of changes it a bit, doesn't it? See, I used to think when I heard, Lord, increase our faith. They were talking about healings or sharing the gospel or working miracles or casting out demons. The subject matter is forgiveness. That is what they're being called to. Jesus is calling them to walk in forgiveness. Then I think of this passage. Matthew 18 is one of the passages. We were looking at Luke 17. And Matthew 18, there's a whole bunch in there that helps teaches us about forgiveness. And look here. It says, then Peter came to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. I'm sure most all of us heard this. Now, a few months ago, or it hadn't even been that far back, I was making my way through the book of Matthew for my own private reading. And I noticed in this verse, when it got to that 70 times 7 part, there's a reference to look at a verse in Genesis. Okay, let's see what it is. So let's look at it. It's Genesis 4, verse 23 and 24. And it says this, Lamech said to his wife, Ada and those two ladies, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So this is the one it took us back to, because I think initially because it says 77-fold. But then I started thinking, what does that have to do with forgiveness? Well, look what he's saying. He's saying, wives, be comforted. If anybody tries to do anything to you, I'm going to get them. And he's saying here, if Cain, verse 24, if Cain is avenged sevenfold. Now, if we remember in the scriptures, Cain killed his brother Abel. And then God went and banished him. And he goes, Cain said, yes, but if I go up there, people are going to kill me. And the Lord said, well, I'll put a mark on you that nobody kills you. And if they do, I will return it sevenfold. You remember that now? Some of us do, some of us, we haven't read it in a while. But that's what it's talking about. Okay? Well, what Lamech's saying is, he's not as merciful as God. That God may bring back, avenge what someone's done sevenfold, but he 77-fold. And it started getting me thinking. When people do me wrong, I know, yeah, God may forgive you, but I'm not as merciful as God. Now, we may not say it in those words, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles with that kind of thinking. We actually kind of think like this. Well, how dare he or she do that to me? How dare them say that to me? And we want to get them. We may pray and Father, we pray that you get them. But that's how our hearts get. Our hearts get like Lamech does here. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. Increase our faith. See, it says that it's going to happen. There's going to be people who are going to try to make us stumble. That's going to happen. And it says, be on your guard. But you look at that, be on your guard. And I believe it's twofold here. Yes, be on your guard that you don't stumble. But be on your guard that you may not stumble into the sin. But if they hurt you, be on your guard that you don't walk in bitterness. Be on your guard, what it says here, that you forgive him. If you repent, forgive him. And if he comes and sins against you seven times. I mean, I don't know about you. You do it one time, okay, that's an accident. You do it two times. Oh, wait a second now. You do it three times. That's a pattern. And that's true in a lot of things. And I have to admit, you do the same thing to me three times, I'm going to have a hard time with you. It's like, how do they say they repent? Repent means not just words. It's having a change of heart. You apparently didn't have a change of heart. You did it to me once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven times. And that's how I ration it. But Jesus is saying, even if he comes up seven times, you are to forgive him. And the apostles say, increase our faith. They seem to see it as a spiritual thing. And I guess in the natural, it is hard for us to forgive people. Especially if they've done it seven times in the same day. Well, maybe y'all are, you know, more forgiven than I am. But I can relate to this. I'd have a hard time. But Jesus goes on further. This increase our faith. I was praying through it, it was almost like an excuse that, Lord, increase our faith. We don't have enough faith for that. But if you would increase our faith. Well, let's look at the verses that come after. Remember, in context, we want to see what comes before it. And we did. Here it is. Now let's see what comes after it and see how it helps us. Okay? So let's look at the next verses. Okay? Now I'm gonna take this in three sections. All right? Let's look at the first one. Okay? And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So we probably all know the mustard seed is like the smallest seed there is. So he said, even if you have just a little bit. So what's Jesus saying to them? He's saying, you're able to forgive. They had enough faith to follow him to have faith. You just need a little bit of faith, and you could say, this tree, boom, and it will obey you. What's in your heart? If I say in my heart, yes, Lord, I want to forgive him, then will it obey me? Do I have enough faith to obey? Yep, I'm going to choose to forgive. How much faith do I need to say that and to do that? The problem is my heart. I don't want to forgive. So it's not a lack of faith. It's a heart condition. You see that? He's saying they have enough faith. It's more than faith. Let's continue on. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come in immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward, you may eat and drink. See what he's saying? You are expected to forgive. Look at that. He's saying, how many of you, when the slaves come, you expect them not to sit down and be just like, but to continue to serve. But not just to serve, look what it says, and properly clothe yourself. He was out there, the slave was out there, and he got dirty. But what were they supposed to do? Come in, get clean, and serve the food. You don't stay dirty and serve the food to your master, do you? You get clean. That's what's expected of you. The Lord's saying that we are expected to forgive. We're not to have the dirtiness of unforgiveness in our hearts when we serve God. We need to be clothed with His righteousness. And that would be including forgiving others. But look at this last part. It goes on. He does not thank the slave because he did the things that were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded to say, that are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that we have ought to done. See, we are called to forgive. That's what we're called to do. We're called to forgive. Jesus asked us to forgive. But that becomes very hard for us. We have a hard time with that. Now you guys are silent. You're either silent because you're thinking, yeah, I don't have a problem with this. Or you're silent because you're human like me. Well, maybe not exactly like me. Y'all ain't Americans. Bless your little hearts. But that's what we're called to. So we're called to walk in forgiveness. That is what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to look at different verses because it's one thing for me to say here, yes, you need to forgive. And that's good. But remember, Jesus went and rebuked the Pharisees and scribes and other leaders because they were putting all these things on them. And he says, and you didn't even lift a finger to help them. Well, that's not going to be said of this pastor here. See, I want to help you. So we're going to look at three different sections of scriptures to help us to be able to walk and forgiveness. Oh, before we do that, apparently I want us to do something else. I want us to look at this verse here. We are to walk in forgiveness. Here's what Jesus says. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I remember why I put this in there. Do we really think about what those words are? We've heard that many times. Jesus says this, right? He says it in another place in Luke, and he says it again in Matthew. But this is the one place where he says, take up your cross daily. Now, taking up the cross, the first thing I think, yes, I need to die to myself, just like Jesus died on the cross. I need to die to myself. Jesus died once for all. Boom. Okay, but this says, take up your cross daily. Daily. So it's a daily dying to myself. But when I use this picture, this helps me more. Because we know the cross, that was the way of execution in those days. Now think about this. Okay? So we are to take up our cross daily. Okay? Die to our selfishness daily. Right? And live for God. Now think about this. I am to make the decision to die on the cross daily. Right? Not just me. All of us. So I can go take a nail. Yes, I could take a nail. Well, I can't because I got too big a belly. But if I could, I could bend down and I could nail my feet into place, right? Now, to get this hand, I need someone to hold that nail. Now, I can hammer that in, but I need someone else to help that to stay up there. Now, to fully be nailed to the cross, I need someone to take the nail and the hammer and do it. Stumbling blocks are going to come. God uses those things. In other words, some of those things that we're dying to self, God uses other people to nail us to that cross. For us to choose to walk how Jesus wants us to walk. Or to walk in our own strength. In our own way of thinking. Let's get to those three different sections of scriptures now.
Okay, helpful scriptures for walking forgiveness.
See, that was supposed to be the clue that they were going to follow right there. So the first one's forgiveness. It's a relationship issue. Look at Matthew chapter 5. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, this forgiveness is a relationship thing. Because we are joint heirs with Christ. God is our heavenly Father. Are we revealing the Father to people? Are we representing Him as we should? It's a relationship. But I'm going to look at it a little bit differently. Look at this one now. Now we get to the Lord's Prayer. And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So see, it's now a different type of using the word relationship thing in a different way. Yes, we're related to the Father through Jesus. Boom. But here, forgive us our debts are related to how we forgive others. You see that? There's a relationship there. Now I put here, I like debts, you know, and that's what it uses in the New American Standard. It uses the word debts, and you know, some would say sins and so on and so forth. We'll get into that. But when people sin against me, I see it as a debt. You owe me. How dare you do that to me? You owe me. Well, why don't we have that same thing when we treat God wrong? But then there's other times. I have a hard time. I can see when people, you do me wrong, I can see that. But when I do others wrong, I don't always see it. That's why I like it. You know, the King James Version uses the word trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses. Okay? The reason I love that word, I used to live up in Northern California, and we used to live in the mountains, and we go hiking, you just go walking everywhere. And every now and again, you'll see a sign that says, no trespassing. So in other words, I'm not supposed to go beyond that point. I'm supposed to stay here. I can go here, but I'm not supposed to go there. Now, sometimes I can hear people will do and say things to hurt me. They shouldn't go there. They shouldn't do those things. They shouldn't say those things. And we're the same way. We shouldn't go there. We shouldn't be saying those hurtful things. We shouldn't be doing those hurtful things. And this is what the Lord said. Forgive us as we forgive others. And look what it says here. It continues on at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Not only says that, but then Jesus continues. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, I've heard preachers preach this and say this is a salvation issue. I completely disagree with them. And I'll tell you why. Because of context. You have to have it in context. The context here is talking about prayer. It's a prayer thing. We're going to see this a little bit later in another scripture that I use. That it's a prayer thing. We are saved because we are trusting the work of Jesus, of what Jesus did. That he died for our sins. He alone lived the perfect life. Was tempted in all ways, but in all ways without sin. And he died to pay the penalty for our sins. And if we trust him, now we have salvation. Now, because I'm saved, I want to follow him and act like him. And therefore, as he forgives me, I want to forgive others. I believe that this is more of a fellowship thing. What we're cutting off is our fellowship. You know, it says in 1 Peter, I believe it starts in chapter 3. We're going to look at some of it, but not this part. I think that's where it says for us husbands to treat our wives correctly, you know, as joint heirs with Christ, lest our prayers get hindered. See? See, so it doesn't say that then you lose your salvation if you don't treat your wife right. It doesn't say that. It says your prayers will be hindered. And I believe that's the same thing it's saying here. Our prayers will be hindered. God still loves you. You're still going to be with him. But you're messing up with your fellowship. We were talking earlier as we come to the table here. What does the Word of God tell us in 1 Corinthians 11? That we must come with the right heart. We must come cleansed. We need to deal with these issues. Well, let's continue on here. And in Ephesians, it says here, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. See, that's related to how God treats us. Colossians. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. See, because we have this relationship with the Lord, we should walk out like that. Well, let's continue on. Now we're going to look at examples. Of course, we all probably know in Luke it says, but Jesus was saying, This is when he was dying on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. They physically knew what they were doing. They knew if you hung someone up on a cross, like that, they were going to die. So they purposely hung him on a cross to kill him. So he wasn't saying they didn't physically know what they were doing, but they didn't know fully what they were doing. They didn't know who Jesus truly was. They didn't realize everything that they were doing. Now, sometimes we accidentally say things to hurt people's feelings. And we say, oh, forgive me, I didn't realize. And we're quick to say that about us, right? Make an excuse for ourselves. But what about other people? Did they really mean to be that hurtful towards me? I don't know. But I need to follow Jesus' example. But here's the one. I don't know about you, but especially when I was younger in the faith, I had this hard time when I see Jesus do something. I think, yeah, but he's God, so of course he's going to do all the right things. So that's why I like looking at examples of people who are human, just like you and I. And that's where we see in Acts. And Stephen, the first martyr, he was preaching God's word. He was sharing the truth of what God wrote in the Old Testament. And then it says, and they threw stones at him. And they said, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Can you believe that? He was doing the right thing. He was standing up for God. He didn't say, God, I'm doing the right thing. Why are you letting... No, his heart was softened. I think that's kind of the key with us. Sometimes our heart get hardened. We kind of get like the second son, don't we? I've done everything right. Why are you letting this happen to me? That wasn't Stephen's heart at all, was it? And then to think, when I was looking at this a while back ago, I was thinking about Stephen and what he would have seen, the anger he would have seen on these people's faces. And he would have been seeing these stones being thrown at him. But we also know he saw the Lord. And that's where his focus was. It was on the Lord. And when he mentioned, oh, I see the Lord, that's when they really got angry and started throwing these stones at him. And here's this angered faces before him that had no business treating him like that. Here's these stones coming. He didn't curse them. He didn't add, God, get them. Lord, not hold this sin against them. I want to have that heart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't always have that heart. So that's why we've got to get to this third section, because this third section helps me out. This is the third and last section we get. There's some practical steps that help us. In Luke, it says this, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I've found that if I'm praying for people, it helps change. Maybe not that person, but it changes me. It starts changing my attitude. And when I go do good for people, there's this one guy who, he didn't treat people too kindly. And Anita allows me to tell this story. At least she used to. You still allow me to tell this story. Praise God. Good, because I was going to tell it anyhow. No, I won't. Okay. This guy was being mean. He was a Christian fellow, and that's the one that really upsets us, isn't it? When Christians treat us wrong. Because non-Christians, they're sinners. That's what sinners do. They do wrong things. But a Christian, my Christian brother or sister, they do and say hurtful things. That's hard for us to take in, isn't it? Well, this one brother, he did. He did a lot of things that wasn't too good and very hurtful. And we're on outreach, and we are in a building about this size. We're in Mexico. And boy, did he snore. He sounded like he had a microphone right there snoring all loud and waking us up. And it's early in the morning, I don't know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I can feel Anita's getting up, and I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I can't put up with his snoring. She's going to get up and, you know, hopefully just gently shake him. But she didn't seem like she was in a gentle mood right then. And I said, wait. Have you been praying blessings? Oh, I said, have you been praying for him? That's what I said. She goes, yes. I said, wait. Praying blessings, not the wrath of God. And she goes, well, no. So she did pray. She probably prayed, Lord, get him to stop doing that. Instead of praying blessings. Because it wasn't just his snoring. His snoring, as we would say, was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was because he said, did this, and he did that. And he not only treated us, he treated other people rudely and meanly. And how dare him? But I said, no, let's pray blessings as the word tells us to. So I started praying blessings. And we went just about 5 minutes, we're praying. And at the very end, I said, and Lord, we do need some sleep. So if you wouldn't mind, could you get his wife just to nudge him a little bit and to wake him up so you stop snoring? I said, but bless him. No matter if you choose to do that or not, bless him. So I said, let's just go to sleep. A minute or two later, we heard, and he stopped snoring. His wife. Him. But it was something that God did to show us. Because we have a hard time forgiving. We were serving as missionaries. How spiritual were we? Yet we're as human as the next guy. So we put the Lord's word into practice. Now I can go on, but I'm going to tell you one more story. That same guy. We get back to the base. Now, he was the leader when we were on the road. But the way it happens, when we get back on the base, I became his leader again. And I was cool. I was praying for him. I didn't hold it against him, the things that he was doing, that he had done. And then I thought the Lord spoke to me and said, on Saturday, I want you to take him out to breakfast. I wanted to sleep in on Saturday. And especially of all people, I don't want to take this guy out. And the Lord showed, I need to do good for those who treat me wrong. So, okay, I'll do it. So, I asked him if I could take him out to breakfast. He said, yes, I took him out to breakfast. And we had a great time. And then after breakfast, he let me know it was actually his birthday that day. And nobody else did anything for him. Oh, well, that's nice that the Lord had me do that. But then he went even further, and he said, Eddie, I've been treating you bad, and look how nice you've treated me. And he says, what you don't know is that, because I was in charge of the maintenance department, and he was under me, but he didn't want to be under me, so when I'd give him a job, he would do that job and then go take a walk around the lake to stay away from me so I wouldn't give him another job. But he confessed it to me and said, I'm sorry. And I had no idea he was doing that because I'm so sorry that I did that. You've been treating me so good. And look how I've been treating you. I am sorry. So my heart got changed because I was praying for him. Oh, yeah, I didn't even tell you this. There's times with that guy, the Lord gave me so many things about him that one time when we were on the road still, he went and we had this confrontation on something, and he goes, yeah, you're right, I'm not a very good leader. I'm like, wait a second, don't be down on you. This is what the Lord told me about you. And I was able to tell him a lot of good stuff about him. Why? Because I was praying blessings. About an hour or so later, the pastor of the church we were staying at, he came and he said, oh, I almost said the guy's name. I don't want to say his name. He said, we'll call him Bob. He said, Bob, the Lord just gave me some words for you. And you know what that pastor said? Word for word, what I just told that guy an hour previously. And it built this guy up. Yay! I could tell you other stories of when I've done this, and God softened my heart first, and then softened other people's hearts. It's a hard one, but we can't do it. Now, look at what it says here. Hebrews, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, which no one, so being set apart for the Lord, walking in his holiness, okay? And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, this is the part that we need to hold on to especially. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it may many be defiled. See, so in other words, it's telling us we have the grace of God to forgive people. If he asks us to do it, we can't do it. He gives us his grace. But there are so many times we miss his grace. Instead, we walk in our flesh. Instead of walking by his spirit, we walk by our flesh. And what happens? We have this root of bitterness. I remember when Anita and I first moved back to Denver, was on staff there at YWAM. We stayed in this one apartment complex. And the managers of the complex loved them. They were very nice. But then we noticed as they talked about other people, there was this bitterness in them. And they were so bitter. And then as we talked to them more, that couple, we found out that they used to be missionaries. And I'm like, wow, they don't look like missionaries. They don't seem even like God's children. Because they allow the root of bitterness to come in. They miss the grace of God. So we need to say, Father, I'm having a hard time with this. Help me to walk in your grace. Because it is hard. And he knows it's hard. Let's continue. I think this might be the last one. To sum up, all of you, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. So, in other words, not bad action for bad action, bad word for bad word. Okay? But giving a blessing instead, which we already spoke about that. For we were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Now that's the kind of part. We may say a little prayer, but are we seeking and pursuing peace? The other person might make it hard, but I think some of the peace we're missing is within ourselves. So, Lord, I want to be at peace with you first and foremost, so I need to walk in forgiveness, and do those things to be in forgiveness, to walk in peace with others. Well, some of that depends on what the others do. So we need to do as much as we can do, and then let God work out the rest. But look what it says, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So again, this is telling us that how we walk will determine whether God's ears are open to us. We hear, you know, in the Old Testament, like with Jeremiah, the Lord says, don't even pray for them because I'm not hearing their prayers because of their wickedness. Right? Isn't that what the Word of God teaches us? See, it's not necessarily a salvation issue. It's this relationship with God issue. It messes up our fellowship with him. And I need him to hear my prayers. I don't know about y'all, but I know I do. So I need to walk as the Lord tells me to walk. Yeah, so this is it. Do as what Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We're going to pray. At the end here, I need a couple people to pass these out because I share a lot, and I want you not to just hear it and get it and say that's good. I want you to put it in practice. So I've got these to be passed out, Anita, if you could do half and maybe give up half to someone on this side. After we have communion, we can give it away. And on the back has those three areas in the scriptures so that we can look at this. Put this in your Bible. Because this is an area that's very hard. It is hard for us. And I know we want to walk in righteousness. So let's look at God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for allowing us to see how we can follow you. Thank you for the privilege that we can even call you our Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've been doing in our lives. Lord, we do pray that you would rebuke the enemy from trying to bring condemnation on us. Because your word says there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. I do pray that if we are holding on to unforgiveness, that you would convict us of that, especially as we're about to come before you here at your table. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get it in our spirits that we can forgive. Yeah, it could be very hard. Because there are some things that people do to us that it's really, really hard to forgive. Lord, I remember that one young man. He said the last time he said he was about 8 years old. The last time he seen his mom, she was shooting a gun at him and saying how horrible it was. And he goes, how am I supposed to forgive her? And I remember saying to him, well, if you have a hard time right now, could you at least say, Father, help me get to the point that I want to forgive her? Can you at least say that? And he said, yeah, I can do that. And he needed to start there. Father, I pray that none of us are that hurt and that wounded. And if we are, we know that you're gracious, Lord. Help us with that. Help us to forgive. Bring healing, because it's painful, some of the things people have said about us, some of the things people have done. So with us repenting and saying, forgive us, we also ask, Lord, that you would heal us. Take that those poisonous words out of our system, Lord God. May we not miss your grace. I want to give you a minute or so that maybe the Lord has brought something up right now. And for you to pray right now for him to help you to forgive. Or maybe you even know who it is. Pray a blessing for him right now. Let's do that, and then I'll...